Please to Romans chapter 14, the book of Romans, the 14th chapter in your Scofield Bible, page 1207, page 1207. We'll read only the first verse of the 14th chapter, and then we'll turn to a couple of other scriptures. And let's stand. As always, we stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read this verse all together. Ready? Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, page 1213 in your Scofield Bible. And here we'll be reading verses 1 and 2. And again, we'll be reading them in unison. So begin with me, please. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1270 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse. And let's read together, please. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And let's pray. Father, when the first of the week rolls around, it's such a comforting thought to be able to come to this great church, to be a part of its membership, to be a part of its services. It's a great feeling to know that we of like faith can gather freely. We can gather in honor of the resurrection and in honor of thy word. We're comforted, too, to know that it's always preached here in its truth and in its power, because you meet with us, and you're faithful to do so. Humble our spirits, help us to be intent upon listening to the man of God, preach the word of God, and give us all of thy strength and mercy and thy blessing and power in Jesus' name. Amen.
I long for the day when our people can get excited about a statement, I'll be a friend of him, as I can some little ditty when somebody stomps your foot and hollers. I long for the day when our people can get as excited about come thy fount of every blessing as they can have a little talk with Jesus, and I'm for both the songs. But somehow, and I'm going to preach along that line this morning, the truth is, this sermon has been mostly prepared for some time. I have here, I was going to preach it to you, but I'm going to preach it to myself and you also, by the way, this morning. I want to speak on the subject, don't run off and leave anybody. Don't run off and leave anybody. Now, the way I talk this morning will not hold your attention. What I say will enlighten you and help you if you will listen on purpose. I hope you will. I'm going to read a passage or two read a while ago without your turning to it. I want to especially read this passage. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Here's what I want you to get. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I've heard preachers all over the country say that's all we're supposed to preach, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's not true. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. But the Apostle Paul said to these baby Christians in Corinth, he said, among you, I'm going to have to just preach Christ and crucified. He explained that in chapter 3 when he said, I've got to feed you with milk. Now listen carefully. I'm going to pray and then speak to you, but I want you to hear carefully. You don't preach to everybody the same way. You don't handle every child the same way. I want you to hear me carefully now. My message is not dynamic, but it's something that I've wanted to say for a long time, and I'm saying it now since I feel I'm the one that needs it most. Father, bless me as I speak today, and give me the attention, both the heart and the mind, of each person here, please. Amen. I want to speak today, I want to speak today primarily to leaders. Most of you, if you're an adult, or even if you're a teenager, in some capacity, you lead somebody. I want to speak to you. I want to speak to the parents, the preachers, the educators. I think I'm going to put my finger this morning on one of the great reasons for the greatness of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. In this crowd this morning, there are several people here who have their doctor's degrees, I mean PhDs and so forth, in this crowd, right here this morning. I know you don't know who they are because they're the kind of people who wouldn't brag about it. But I promise you that we have a dozen people in this room this morning who have earned, if I use that word because you understand what I mean, a doctorate from universities around the country. We have many successful businessmen. I'm sure we have a couple of hundred men this morning in this room who own and operate successful businesses. We have bankers and doctors and lawyers in this room this morning. We have many school teachers, probably more school teachers attend our church than any church in the world. We have both secular and Christian school teachers who come here faithfully. Then we have factory workers, people that work in factories, blue-collar people. We have blue- and white-collar people here. We have bus kids in the same room with the PhDs. We have intellectuals sitting in the same pew today with people who are illiterate, unable to sign their own name. And it's obvious that some of you can't sign your name because I haven't seen a check with the church your name on it a long time here at the church. But we have bus kids. We have mission men here this morning, and college students, and public school students, and street people, and educable slow people, and servicemen, and all ages of people in this room this morning. Now, it's my job to see to it that each of you keeps on growing in grace. By the way, I must do it from the pulpit. The church is too big. I cannot know you like I wish I could. I have a note that I got this morning, one of the sweetest notes, and yet one of the most heartbreaking notes I have ever received in my life. Here's what it says. Dear Dr. Hiles, I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for allowing a dream to come true by your conducting our wedding ceremony in June. Growing up as a little boy, and this broke my heart, I always wanted to get to know you and be around you. Well, for 25 minutes on the day I got married, my dream came true. While we sat in my office, in the wedding room, I talked to him about the ceremony. Now, I don't know this fellow very well. He only knows me as his preacher. That's been my job since he was a child, to keep him growing. The same time I keep him growing, I've got to reach down here and get the mission men and keep them growing. I've got to get the fellow been saved for 50 years and keep him growing. And the fellow got saved last Sunday, I've got to keep him growing also. Now, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying every sermon that I prepare, I don't care when it is, every sermon, look at me now, I sit down in my office, and I go through all of these groups I mentioned this morning. And I say, now, what is here this morning that the truck drivers over here would understand? Not much, because they can't understand very much. But what is it that the sailors can understand? And the other educable soul people who are here. What is it here that will cause the mature Christians to keep growing and the baby Christians to keep growing? And what is it here that will cause the street people to understand and get a blessing? And every sermon I preach, I go through the outline, I go through it again and again and again, and try to be sure there's something in every single sermon that will cause every area of people here to grow. For example, I preach every Sunday and to try to make bring the fallen to become weak, and the weak to become strong, and the strong to become useful, and the useful to become mature. So I reach over here to the fallen people and try to lift them up and help them to get back up to become even a weak Christian. And then I reach down to the weak people and say, I want to help them and make them strong. And then I reach down to the strong people and I want to make them useful. I reach down to the useful people and say, I want to make them to become mature. In Bible conferences, I told this brother at a peanut the other day, in Bible conferences, I preach Monday night, Tuesday morning, when I go out and preach across the country. For 40 years, I went every week except Bible school week and the pastor school week. But I always, in those conferences, preach one sermon that's pastoral. Always. Then I preach one sermon that gives them a truth that they can take home with them. Then I preach another sermon where I preach the devil out of them. I call it the State of the Union Address. My wife calls them scrambled egg sermons. But in every single conference, I preach at least one pastoral sermon and one sermon to give them some Bible truth, and then one sermon that I would call a State of the Union, a hard type message, if you please. I do not want to be stereotyped as a preacher. I don't want people to become expectant of any certain thing when I preach. I want to preach sometimes and throw a fit. I want to preach sometimes and comfort the people. And by the way, in the same, please don't miss this now. You moms and dads and young preachers and preacher boys and all of you, listen carefully to me this morning. I must keep all growing. I must feed all and destroy none while I feed all. We have become experts, in many cases, in only one field. We kill the weak in order sometimes to grow the strong. We kill the weak sometimes in order to feed the mature. I know some of the greatest conference preachers I know in America have not built great churches. Why? Because they're one-dimensional preachers. They can preach great sermons to preachers and great sermons to mature Christians, but they can't reach down and reach the fallen one or the weak one and raise the fallen or strengthen the weak one. All of that is a part, whether you're a parent or an educator or a pastor, whatever you are. But I know some preachers that can preach great conference sermons but never build great churches. I know some of our Howells Anderson boys, they go out and start churches and they preach the same sermons they hear in chapel. Fellas, that won't work. That won't work. You don't do that when you go out. You take them from where they are, and you've got people there that are weak and are fallen and need to become weak. You've got folks that are weak who need to become strong. You've got folks that are strong who need to become useful. You've got folks that are useful that need to become mature Christians. Some of us can ring the bell at pastor school or a Bible conference or on chapel at Howells Anderson College, and yet you don't do that when you stand before your church to preach. I'm talking to preacher boys now. You don't do that. You've got the fellow got saved last week. I mean, he's not ready yet to give up rock music. He's got to give up his dope first, and you got to be patient with him while the guy is growing and maturing. And you don't want to kill him while you're trying to get the others right with God. Some dads are too spiritual for their children. Some teachers are too intellectual for their students. And sometimes that family devotion is a preaching service instead of something that appeals to the kids. I used to tell Bible stories every night to our kids when they were little. I didn't stand up and say, son, you sit still now. And Becky and Linda and Cindy, you sit still. Daddy's going to teach on the virtue of the King James Bible. No, I didn't do that. I'd act out some story. I'd talk about this guy that was going down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and he got hit, and he fell down, and he's half dead. And I'd act the story out. I'm trying to say that if we don't watch out, in an effort to make the strong mature, in an effort to make the useful mature or the strong useful, if you don't watch out, we drown the people while we're teaching other folks to do the backstroke. And so forth. In other words, some of us are specialists. We fail to take folks from every level to the next level. Some of us speak to those who can swim in deep water and drown those who are learning to swim. By the way, let me say, do you know we're akin to the evangelicals? The evangelicals, they'll take a person who's not saved and get him saved and get him to be a pretty fair Christian. but they leave him there. They won't teach him to how to dress and how to behave, what kind of music to have, and what kind of Bible to have. On the other hand, there are others of us who go up to the top spectrum and forget those folks down here. We minister to just the sanctified. For example, when I came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, the first youth activity we had, I was asked to go to it and speak to the young people. Went down to Lake Tippecanoe and down here in a few miles from here, and our young people came in swimsuits. It was a mixed swimming party. And they were sitting on tables in a dining room in their bathing suits, and I was the new pastor to speak to our young people. I think you had a bathing suit on that day, didn't you? But were you there? Were you there? You don't remember. On your knees, buddy. But anyway, there I was. So did I preach on the sin of mixed swimming? No. They weren't ready for that yet. And by the way, if I had it, I wouldn't be here right now. And you wouldn't be here right now. And there wouldn't be any Howells Anderson College. You take a patient where he is. And then you take him a step at a time. And by the way, in a situation like this, I've got people here this morning who are in their 90s, and I've got people who are teenagers. I've got young Christians and mature Christians. And somehow, I've got to convince all of you that I love you and not trying to hurt you, and I'm trying to help you, and I've got to preach to all this great crowd of humanity this morning and help each of you from where you are to grow in grace. All that say this, I'm proud to pastor all of you. If you smoke cigarettes, I'm proud to be your pastor. Now, I want to warn you, now, Chandra, after a while, I'm going to try to get you to quit. But until you quit, I'm still your preacher. If you listen to rock music, and every once in a while, some of us will speak a few negative things about rock music. Once every 3 minutes, I think it is. But if you listen to rock music, I'm still proud to be your preacher. I don't ask you to grow up all at one time. I ask you just to grow a little bit at a time. Let me see some kind of progress. If you fellas have long hair, you got hair down to your back, I want you to keep coming here. Now, I'm going to try to get you to get it cut one of these days, but I also am going to try to help you to come from here to here instead of busting you wide open because you're not up here yet. The truth is, I know a lot of preachers that expect people the first week they're saved to be at the same place it took them 20 years to get. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul said. Be patient with all men. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Be patient with all men. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, now, you're not ready for strong meat yet. I can't give it to you. I've determined to preach nothing among you but Christ crucified. Illustration. By the way, four statements first. I'm proud to be your pastor. I don't expect you to grow up all at one time. I just want you to grow. If you even have fallen back, just grow a little bit from where you are. That's all I want. I just want you to grow. Look, if I were only preaching here to college graduates, I could preach on a certain level. If I could only preach here to mature Christians, I could preach on a certain level. But I've got to reach down and say to this fellow, here's something for you, and here's something for you. Let me illustrate. I won't tell the story because you've heard it often. About Leon Lillard, my drunk that got saved down in Texas. And I asked him, he asked me one night publicly and from the people, he said, I'm saved, now what do? And I said, you get baptized. He said, then what do? I said, you join the church. He said, then what do? I said, you start giving a tenth to God. He said, well, I don't know what this tenth means, but I got two fists out in the car. I'll let him have. Now, that was said publicly. Now, by the way, he did give us two fists. One of our deacons got it from him, he did give his two fists to God. But now, some of you Pharisees, you're only concerned about growing good people better. I'm concerned about making bad people good. You're only concerned about making strong people stronger. I'm concerned about making weak. And I'll put up with that. A fellow used to sit up here, and I said, is he still there? Doesn't do it anymore. Big guy. Came off out of the jungles of Chicago. Big guy. And he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He just, and I'll spell it, but he didn't spell it. I'd say something good, and he'd holler, D-A-M-N, that's good. I'm not going to use the word, but he said, D-A-M-N, that's good. He's stubborn. That's what he'd say. You said, Brother Howe, did you shut him up? No, I'd like to wake up some of you folks that never say anything. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, people, we've got to realize that everybody here is not ready yet to quit listening to the radio. It didn't go very well. I mean, everybody is not ready yet for postgraduate work. You learn to read before you can learn Greek, and you learn to spell before you can learn theology. And we've got, if you don't watch out, we will kill the weak people and drown them in an effort to get the good people better. Had a fellow stand right behind his piece of wood. I asked him to give his testimony. He hadn't been saved very long. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what he said. And I'm going to spell it out. He didn't spell it out. He said, he gave his testimony, and he closed it saying, I want you to know since I got saved, I feel an H-E-L-L of a lot better. And I agreed with him. He did feel. Now, hey, you Pharisees, sit up straight and shut up. Some of the best Christians in this room may still smoke cigarettes. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect. Now, that scripture is in the future perfect tense. Be ye therefore, be becoming perfect. It means be on your way. Now, I was talking yesterday to Sandy Taylor, and she won't mind me saying this. Sandy Taylor has a background that's probably worse than anybody in this room. But for the grace of God, you'd have a worse one. But Sandy Taylor, last Sunday night, she came down the aisle and gave up her pants. She quit wearing trousers last Sunday night. Now, it just may be, she may be the best Christian in this room. It's not how high you are, it's how low you were. It's how far had you come. Here's a person like myself, reared in a godly, under a godly mother's influence, and taught, read the Bible every day of my life, and taught about Jesus every day of my life. I started right here, and maybe I've come up here. But here's the guy back here, up here in the rescue mission, and some of the best Christians in this room may be right up there in that crowd today. Because he started back here. His daddy was not a Christian. His mother may have been a harlot. His dad may have been a pimp. You never know. And the poor fellow started back here. And he's come this far. I want to say today, ladies and gentlemen, all of us need to grow in grace, and be ye therefore be becoming perfect. Be on your way to becoming perfect. Lady sat right there one Sunday morning. Hadn't been here long. She got so intense with the sermon. She sat there. And she was lit like that. And she was just so interested, just like two of you are this morning. She was so interested in the sermon. And all of a sudden, she didn't know what she was doing. She grabbed her purse. And then she opened her purse, kept looking at me, opened her purse, got a pack of cigarettes out. Opened up the pack of cigarettes, got one out, did like that to it, didn't even know what she was doing. And then she got a match out. All the time I was preaching. And she lit the stupid cigarette, sitting there smoking a cigarette. You say, Brother Howe, that upset you? No, it's the fellow behind her that was asleep that upset me. Now, don't start smoking now. Don't do it. I'm trying to say, I'm afraid in fundamental circles. We have gotten the place, our fundamental churches, our fundamental preachers, we've gotten the place in our educators and so forth that we're only trying to Simonize the nice car when we may have to clean up the one that's dirty first. Somebody's got to realize that we can't destroy the weak when we try to make the strong mature. And somebody's got to realize we've got to reach down and get the fallen. And that's why, from this pulpit, I sometimes will raise the dead, I'll throw a fit, have a spell. But sometimes, this pulpit, I've got to comfort the poor lady who's a widow. And I've got to strengthen the poor guy who's trying to give up his liquor. And so, I'm saying, we've got to lift the fallen and make them weak, lift the weak, make them strong, lift the strong, make them useful, lift the useful, and make them mature Christians. I'm going to give you an illustration. I don't even want to do it because I'm going to confess a sin. Now you're reaching for your paper and your pen. You'll buy this tape. It's my wife's sin I'm going to confess. Dr. Rice and I were I went to breakfast one morning, and I said, Dr. Rice, did you have a good night's sleep? Oh, he said, I confessed my sin. I just confessed and sin all night. Well, I said, as many as you got. You must have been awake all night. He said, awake all night long, but what mine is confessing yours. I want to confess the sin of mine this morning. I'm not pleased with my youth conference sermons I preached this week. I preach Wednesday night, and I preach Thursday morning at 11 o'clock. I wasn't pleased. I found myself, don't miss this now, I found myself feeling I was not tender enough. I found myself feeling I had not been youthful enough and hadn't caught up with the kids enough. I felt like I had not properly related to the kids like I should have. And I was very, I told Brother Athena, I'm very upset with myself. I told him Friday morning, I said, I wish I could preach today again. Because there's something these kids need from me I haven't given them yet. And I felt bad about it. We had preaching here, some of America's greatest preachers. Brother Kalap preached a wonderful sermon on heroes. Brother Alan Dominic preached a wonderful sermon on Stand in the Gap. I preached on obeying parents, and Annan had a friend that you read recently. Brother Jack Scott preached a great message on handing the right things down to the next generation. Brother Owens preached his usual great message, not his usual great message. He has two messages. He preached one of them. And he preached on stirring yourself. And Dr. John Francis preached a wonderful sermon. And Dr. Cowling, his usual wisdom and charm. And Ed Lapina preached a sermon on Amos the herdsman and so forth. And the truth is, I wanted to get back. Usually when I get through preaching, I'm glad it's over. I mean, I went to vacation Bible school and then youth conference. And boy, usually I say, glory to God, I haven't got to preach again. I can just sit here and hear this. But I wanted to get back in there. I felt like I had not, follow me carefully, I felt like I had not raised every level of person. I felt like that I had only raised one level. I felt that I had preached only strong. I call them El Puncos, El Punkettes. We got home and I said to my wife, in the conference, I said, we're beating these kids to death. And she said, yeah, you mean calling them El Puncos and El Punkettes? And I've been El Punko all week, by the way, since then. And she's El Punkette, too. And I'm going to be eating McDonald's for lunch today. But I felt bad about it. And I don't miss this. I wanted to give them something I felt I had not given them. And I felt bad. I felt real bad. Bob Hooker gets up to speak. He read more scriptures than in the Bible. And probably, in fact, anybody that knows homiletics would know he shouldn't have read that many scriptures. And then he told a lengthy Bible story and told God some things about that story that God had not even heard about yet. And I thought, he's losing these people. Did you think that? You didn't think that. You did think that. You did think that. And I thought, Bob can be more dynamic than this. Wait a minute. Don't miss it. And then he lost some people's attention. Mine and a few other people. And then, all of a sudden, he preached, of all things, on bitterness. Everybody knows you're supposed to preach against men wearing earrings. Everybody knows he's supposed to be preaching against rock music. That's what I've been doing. Bitterness. If we had had a vote from these kids as to who preached the best sermon of the conference, Bob Hooker wouldn't have come close. Except I sat up here and cried. And I said, thank you, Jesus. They're getting what I wanted them to have. They're getting what I wanted them to have. For he reached down to every level, and altogether he raised up the fallen to become weak, and lifted the weak to become strong, and lifted the strong to become useful, and lifted the useful to become mature. And every teenager in here, regardless of what level he was on, was lifted. And if you were here, you know what I'm talking about. He wasn't bombastic and clever like I am. He wasn't near as charming as I am. In fact, no, none of these guys are. But he lit enough humor to where the people knew he was human. And then you could read his heart and tell that his heart was trying to help those kids. And I sat there and about to cry frank with you. I got on my knees and I got back to my office and I said, "Dear God, I'm sorry. I'm so glad Bob preached that sermon. That's what I wanted to preach if I had to do it again." And the honest, simple truth is, it was obvious to all that he had a desire to help those young people. He said, "Some of you are bitter because your mom and dad have divorced." He said, "You're the one that's going to be hurt." He said, "Some of you are bitter because you don't have a dad at home, but you're the one that's going to hurt." And he reached down to that little old bus kid over here and tenderly lifted him. And then he reached up to the same age kid who had grown up in church all his life and dotted all the fundamental I's and crossed all the fundamental T's and raised him also. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't run off and leave anybody. He moved all of us up. And this morning when I got that note, I opened it. I've forgotten where I put it now. I said, "Live with the house since I was a child. I've always wanted to spend some time with you." I remember those days back yonder years ago when I was a young preacher and had 100 people. I called when I had a church running 300 Sunday school. I went to see every absentee every week myself. Every family that missed, I'd go by their house and tell them I missed them on Sunday. I knew everybody. Used to have a little sign back in the back, a little on a bulletin board, sign up here if you want to have the preacher in his house to eat. And every Sunday, we'd go to somebody's home and have a meal. We can't do that anymore. You said, "You miss it?" Well, I miss it. But I also, that's one reason why I cut up some. I want you to feel like you know me. I read that note this morning, that young man said, since as a child, I've dreamed of getting to know you better. And he said, "My dream was fulfilled because before he got married in our wedding room, he spent 25 minutes with his preacher." I'm trying to say I love all of you. I'm trying to say that when I get mean and rough, please listen carefully. I'll give you something in a few minutes to help you to raise you from fallen to weak. And then from weak to strong. And then from strong to useful. And then from useful to mature. Let's don't run off and leave anybody. Let's be sure that these public school kids over here, we don't expect them to be the same thing that the kids are who've grown up in First Baptist Church with a dad, a deacon, or a choir member, and his mother, a Sunday school teacher. We don't expect it. All we expect of you kids, just grow a little bit. We'll wait for you. We're not going to often leave you. You mission men, I don't expect you to be the kind of men that these men in the tenor section are. I expect you to be better. But I don't expect you to be like our deacons. You're my members, and I love you. I don't think you should have named your cat Wino, but I love you. And you're my man. You homeless people up here. My dad used to sleep on the streets. I don't expect, just let me see you grow a little bit. This morning, I'll close with this. The Lord gave me a certain family here this morning because he knew I was going to preach this sermon or make this talk. All of us know the sailors are retarded. The fact that they joined the Navy is proof of it. But those sailors, you ever wonder what happens to them?
Here's a guy leaves and goes to Norfolk Naval Base there, and we say goodbye to him and pray for him. What happens to him?
Our visitor stood a while ago in my Sunday school class. And a family over here stood up. I want you to stand up again, would you please? All the whole family. Milwaukee, is that where you're from? They came to Milwaukee this morning to be in our service. He used to sit back here. Yeah. And I'm sure that when you came here, some of the things I preached, you thought were way out in left field. I remember you were on dope and alcohol running around. But wait a minute. Did you wonder if I loved you? Did you think I wanted to chase you off if you didn't get perfect? No, you didn't. You knew that you were somebody special here at First Baptist Church. As special as the college students and as special as the folks who've been reared here. That's one of the sailors used to sit back here. He brought his family there and stood up and testified in Sunday school briefly and thanked God for the sailor ministry. And thank God that we loved him. Thank you very much. Down in the human heart, crushed with a tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken can vibrate once more. Do you understand my plight? Do you understand when I walk from right here up to here? Do you understand that all the way from those street people to a sea of doctor's degrees, do you understand that everybody here has got to grow a little bit every week? I can't wait on next year's youth conference. I'm still strong enough to preach. I want to make amends. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I'll preach the same thing I preach. I'm not going to quit preaching to the strong to make him mature. And I'm going to get the fella who's strong and try to make him grow and grow and grow. But next year, I'm going to reach down and not forget the little fella here that came along for the ride because I've been praying for him to get right with God. Paul said, I've determined to preach nothing among you but Christ crucified. And then he said to the church, the Christians in Rome, him that is weak, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And he said to the Thessalonican people, he said, be patient with all men. And so, by the way, when I throw a fit up here, Brother Scott was preaching a wonderful sermon Friday afternoon, and he hauled off and he kicked the microphone over. Now, I didn't know Brother Lapina, and I said, he shouldn't have done that. At choir practice, they're having some trouble with the microphones. Ms. Howes spoke up and said, no wonder. It's a wonder we have any of them at work. I'll still kick a few microphones over, and you'll hear me throw some fits. In fact, it may be tonight. But as I do it, you listen very, very carefully. Or somewhere in there, I'll have something for those men right up there. And somewhere, I'll have something for those people right up there. And somewhere I'll have something for those truck drivers over there, and those sailors back there, and those public school kids back here, and these educable, slow pathfinders over here. The Apostle Paul said, be patient with all men. Parents, take what I said and apply it to yourself. School teachers, take what I said and apply it to yourself. You might be the smartest teacher in the school, but the dumbest teacher. Howells Anderson College students, preacher boys, don't forget what I've said. Get the tape. Listen to it again and again and again. And be sure that while you're making the useful mature, don't forget to make the strong useful. And don't forget to make the weak strong. And don't forget to make the fallen weak. Our Heavenly Father,